Srimad Bhagavatam 11th Canto, Chapter 22, Elements of Material Creation. Translation. In the beginning of creation, nature assumes, by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, its form as the embodiment of all subtle causes and gross manifestations within the universe. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not enter the interaction of material manifestation, but merely glances upon nature. Purport. The personality of Godhead is not subject to transformation like the subtle and gross material elements. Thus the Lord is avyakta, or not materially manifest at any stage of cosmic evolution. Regardless of the specific method of cataloging the material elements, the Lord remains the ultimate creator, maintainer, and annihilator of the total cosmic situation. Om Ganatimanandasya Gananjana Chalakaya Chakshomilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guru Namah. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dananda Sri Advaita Ganada Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The relation between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and material nature is one of the great mysteries. In order to appreciate Krishna Lila, you first have to overcome this mystery about the relationship between Krishna and his material energy. Without crossing that hurdle, there's no question of understanding in truth Krishna's pastimes. You all know how Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divya Evam Yoveti Tattvata Chappa Deham Puna Janma Naiti Mahameti Sojuna. If you can understand the transcendental science of Krishna's appearance in this world, his so-called Janma, his activities in this world, his karma, activities without any reaction, without any touch of material nature. If you can understand that properly, then upon giving up the present body, you will take another body. Understanding Krishna in truth, that is a lifetime career. So many famous persons spend a lifetime trying to understand something or research something or perfect some skill. And what is the reward? You spend a lifetime dedicated to Krishna research. And just see, upon giving up the present body, you don't take another material body. If we're really going to appreciate what is yoga, then we must understand Yogeshvara, the master of all yoga power. Krishna's connection, or lack thereof, with material nature is a yoga power. It's mystic power. How the material energy can proceed from Krishna, yet he's unaffected by it. He never comes under its influence. This is yoga. You can observe yoga power in all aspects of nature. In other words, we are expanding the definition of yoga beyond simply physical exercises, asanas, breathing exercises, pranayama. The deeper definition of yoga is an art, skill. You're adept at manipulating something. Okay, you can become adept at manipulating your body. It's good for the health. Manipulate your breathing. But the yoga power that is distributed throughout material nature is one of skills that each body possesses. Birds can fly. That's yoga power. You just try flapping your arms and see how you get into the air. But birds have that mystic power. It's yoga. It's a skill. Please think of it in that way. So many species of life have a particular asset, a particular way of interacting with material nature. And you can understand that's yoga. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all yoga power. And in relation to the material world, his consummate demonstration of yoga power is that he emanates the material energy. He even apparently enters within the material energy, but he's totally untouched and uncompromised. We need to appreciate that skill of Krishna before we can actually relish his intimate pastimes. Therefore, a transcendental education is necessary, so that we'll start to think how it is that everything emanates from Krishna, yet Krishna is untouched by the material nature. This question, this theme, pops up throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Vidura questions Maitreya. That all right, we have a premise here. The premise is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely spiritual. The complete spiritual whole. We accept that. But then I ask you, how is it that he has some kind of connection with material nature, which doesn't affect him? How does that happen? Because we've already established he's completely spiritual. He's the sum, the source of all energies. Yet, we've got this material nature thing going on. What's happened here? How does the Supreme Personality of Godhead do this without being compromised? It would seem you can't have it both ways, in other words. Either you're completely spiritual or you're compromised by the material energy. Yet, the material energy comes from Krishna. How do we understand this? And Vidura further amplifies his question with an example. We all know about boys. Little boys like to play. They like to play because of desire. They want to enjoy. Understanding that motivation of little boys, how do we apply such an understanding to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has qualities and activities, yet these qualities and activities have nothing to do with material nature? Krishna's play, his lila, Vidura accepts without a doubt that they exist. But how do you act and have qualities without any involvement with material nature? Little boys play out of desire. They sport. But we all know they're implicated in material nature. Krishna has lila. He plays. He sports. But the display of his qualities and activities has nothing to do with material nature. Please explain this to me. So let me Bhagavatam personalities wonder about, we should also wonder about. We need to be proactive in our reading of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The issues that Arjuna brings up in Bhagavad Gita, the issues that Prichit Maharaj or Vidura bring up in Srimad Bhagavatam, they should become our issues. All right, I know, we in Kali Yuga we've got a lot of other things going on in our head. And we have to deal with that. But we should never become so overwhelmed by the intricacies and complexities of Kali Yuga psychology that we neglect the real issues in life, which will persist long after we have cleared up our psychological complexities or not. Still, there will remain Krishna's yoga power, the mystery of Krishna's apparent connection to this world, the mystery of how Krishna acts and has qualities which have nothing to do with the material nature. That mystery will go on and on, regardless of whether we have resolved our personal traumas or not, regardless of whatever body we'll accept in the next life. Krishna offers you a way out of all that. Simply try to understand him in truth. Just take Bhagavad Gita, for example. What is Krishna doing there on a battlefield making politics? Srila Prabhupada once defined the challenge of Bhagavad Gita in that way. Janma karma chamedyabhyam. Understand Krishna in truth. Why he's in the Kurukshetra battle making politics. If you can understand that, chakva devam paraja. Go back to God. Think about it. We have so much opportunity to contemplate Krishna's yoga abilities. Now, the interesting thing is that we're qualitatively as good as Krishna. Hard as it is to imagine that. We attribute so much credit and emphasis to our body and mind, we've forgotten the power of the Atma. But actually, just like Krishna has nothing to do with the material energy in terms of being influenced by it, similarly, we are the same. Now just think how far off the mark we are. Actually, in our original constitutional position, the material energy has nothing to do with us. So how have we become so... we've become blown so far off course that we can't even remember our original constitutional position? This is the wonder of the material energy. But an even greater wonder than that is how we can also exist in the material world. It's our dormant capacity to exist in the material world without being touched by it. The same feat that Krishna does of apparently being within the material energy, but being untouched by it, that same yoga power his parts and parcels also have. But because those parts and parcels are tiny, they can become overwhelmed by Krishna's material energy if they turn away from Krishna. They have that susceptibility because they're tiny. We have to think about it. Why? Why does it have to be that we're overwhelmed by the material? We have to remember our size. We're small timers. Small timers get overwhelmed. It's like someone from the countryside, a farmer or something, who's never been to Las Vegas. Ride and just stunned by all the display of all the Kali Yuga diversity. They're just totally mesmerized and enthralled. Wow. I remember as a little kid in New York City, sometimes you would see tourists from rural parts of America, Pennsylvania, middle of Pennsylvania, or something like that. They would come on these tour buses to New York City or come by themselves with their family, and they would wander around, and you could just hear them, the little kids telling their mothers, "Mother, look at this! Oh, amazing! Look at that building! Look at so many people!" And the mother, from rural areas, said, "Oh dear, this is just the way it is in New York City. This is New York City, like the wonder of the world." So, I would, typical young New Yorker, naturally I was cynical. So, I would turn to my mother, I was 8 years old, and say, "Why are they talking like this? What's the big deal?" My mother would have to calm me down. Now, dear. They're from the rural areas. It's natural that they will feel like they're overwhelmed by the glory of our city. Just calm down. Well, similarly, we become overwhelmed by the glitter and glamour of the material energy because we're so tiny. And that often, I notice, is a hard thing for us to accept, our tininess. There is something about living in material existence that gives you a false sense of empowerment. And you really have to do a double take on that. It's part of the detachment that the bhakti process brings to you. You can do a double take on yourself. You can check yourself out in the mirror of transcendental knowledge. What is it that makes me feel that I can really cope? That I've got abilities, I can handle things. When, look at my position, I'm pure spirit soul, and I'm misidentified as matter. Something's drastically gone wrong. Sometimes, devotees want to curse the fact that they have independence. Why did Krishna give us this independence? Wouldn't it have been better if Krishna would just choose for us? Then we wouldn't have to undergo material existence. Why is Krishna letting us just wander through the forest of material enjoyment and getting into trouble? Why doesn't he just make up our minds for us? Wouldn't that make bhakti easier? What do you think? No more struggles as a brahmachari. Krishna makes all the choices for you. No more struggles as a householder. Krishna makes all the decisions for you. You don't have to voluntarily use your will. Krishna makes all the decisions. You're like a Krishna robot. Wouldn't that be better? Why doesn't Krishna do that? So many wonder about that. We need to understand, and we can't get around the fact, that we are part of Krishna. Being part of Krishna means you have, generally, all the qualities of Krishna, but in tiny portions. So Krishna is the supreme independent. If you're actually his part, then you have to also have a little drop of independence. That's the setup. Ultimately, when you have these perplexities, why did Krishna give me independence? Your ultimate concern is whether the Supreme Absolute Truth is personal or impersonal. If you accept that the Supreme Absolute Truth is personal, then you accept that Krishna has his personal reasons for doing things his way. Just like you have your personal reasons for doing things your way. And those who are your friends, those who are your associates, your family members, they have to get used to you doing things your way. It's always a big challenge in any kind of personal relationship. I've got to get used to this other person and the way he or she does things. And why do they do things the way they do? Because they do things the way they do. Everyone knows, in a long-term relationship, I've been told, especially in family life, sooner or later, you just got to accept that point. That's the way the person is. Otherwise, your relationship falls apart. You just keep scratching it. Why do you do like this? Can you just take 10 minutes and explain to me why you have done like this for 20 years? No, the peace formula in relationships in this world is you finally accept that's the way you are. And I've just got to accept that. So Krishna, the Supreme Person, Purushottama, does things the way he does things. We are his tiny parts. So Krishna shares his qualities with his parts. You can't eradicate your independence. Who explains this? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that if you're wanting that Krishna override your independence or wipe it out. Can't happen, because Krishna knows he would be destroying your inherent quality. And you're a part of him. It's an intimate situation in which he shares his qualities with you. So what do we say? Don't share it, Krishna. Keep your independence to yourself. Make me a robot. I don't want to go through material existence anymore. You do it all for me. Now, why doesn't Krishna do that? We forget that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. This verse talks about the beginning of creation. And at that time, nature assumes its form as the embodiment of all subtle causes and gross manifestations within the universe. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not enter the interaction of material manifestation, but merely glances upon that. It is necessary to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as creator, maintainer, destroyer. But far beyond that is knowledge of Krishna as the supreme enjoyer. I always point out that the thing we hold most dearly to us, our desire, our capacity for enjoyment, that's the last thing that we want to hear about Krishna doing. He should create, yes. He needs to work because we work. He should maintain, of course. He should bring the daily bread. And, all right, he can destroy. But enjoy? That's outrageous. Unconsciously, we're saying that that's our business. Krishna should just be worshipped. That's all. He should be inactive. He should be impersonal. Ultimately, that's our problem. Impersonalism, every shape, she should know. But that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer means whatever he does, he knows how to get the best pleasure. That is yoga. So he gives his parts and parcels independence because he knows this is the best way to enjoy. They're voluntary, loving exchanges. Who wants forced love? No one here wants forced love. Yet you want to push that on Krishna? Krishna, just force me. Make my bhakta life easy. Make my ashram life, home life so easy. Just force me. I'm tired of having to choose you. Now, would you say that to any of your friends or husband or wife? Just force me. I'm just tired of having to think how to please you. You can never think of yourself saying that. No, you want to feel the satisfaction of being chosen, of being voluntarily served, of being appreciated. So then why do we want to push this robot kind of love upon Krishna? I'm tired of making any kind of voluntary choice. You just do it all. Krishna knows better as the supreme enjoyer. He knows what is the best yoga beyond all the powers that you see in material nature, beyond Krishna's creation, maintenance, and destroying abilities, is his yoga power of relationships. Krishna is the most expert at having relationships. And we need to start to trust him for that. That's the full meaning of Chakra Deham Kunajam. When you understand Krishna in truth, you don't take another body. Understanding Krishna in truth, Jama Karma Chavitta, means trusting that Krishna is the expert in relationships. People are in such anxiety about relationships. You go to any bookshop and you'll see shelf after shelf of books, how to have a relationship. When to say yes, when to say no. How to negotiate, how to talk about difficult subject matters. There's a book about every aspect of relationships because people are having such a tough time doing what Krishna does so easily and so infinitely blissful. Some of Krishna's pastimes are only demonstrated in his Bhoma Lila, his going from universe to universe. Krishna knows what to do, how to attract maximum attention to himself for our benefit. Look, I'll display pastimes that even Narayan in Vaikuntha, he doesn't see. I'll display pastimes for you that are not even present in Goloka Vrindavan. His childhood pastimes, his killing of demons. These are unique to his Bhoma Lila, his manifestation of activity while touring the material worlds. So Krishna knows what to do, how to attract us, how to sustain the relationship. And the last thing, so to speak, that Krishna would ever want to do is take away our independence, because as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati points out, that will destroy our inherent spiritual quality of being part and parcel of Krishna. So there you have it. You're stuck with yourself and your independence. Therefore, dharma cheche guru cheche, some of it. What are you going to do? Dhritarashtra's first question, first verse of all. What's everyone going to do? What are you going to do? You're part and parcel of Krishna. You have your minor independence. Now what? One sentence in this purport is the gateway to endless contemplation. Thus the Lord is avyakta, or not materially manifest at any stage of cosmic evolution. Now, let's think about that. This will be our final point for today. That Krishna is never materially manifest means that by your trying to look at the material energy from the material standpoint, you'll never detect Krishna. Because if Krishna could be understood simply by someone looking at the material energy, then wherever you look would cause you to be enlightened, perfectly Krishna conscious. But the problem is your standpoint. You have to change your standpoint. You can't look at the material energy from the material standpoint and realize Krishna. But if you look at the material energy from the spiritual standpoint, yes, then you can begin to realize Krishna. So this is the problem when so many people say, what do you need the spiritual process for? Sounds like some kind of California thing. The divine is all around you. Just open your eyes. What do you need, guru? What do you need? Follow regulations. Just, it's all there. Be with it. Be inspired. Be enlightened. One devotee told me how she was following such a so-called spiritual teacher. Look around, the divine is everywhere. You don't need anything else. You can just look around and enlightenment will come to you. And he also stated that. How do you choose the best spiritual path? The best spiritual path is that which has no rules or regulations pressing down on your shoulders, because the rules and regulations burden your shoulders. But the real spiritual path has no rules and regulations, and that way you can float naturally upward to the spiritual platform. Sounds pretty good, huh? So anyway, this devotee, she was a firm believer in all this. And then once she was in Hawaii, this was before she became a devotee, And she was in a bar in Hawaii, club, whatever. And there was her hero, her spiritual luminary who had sold millions of books. And he was drinking with his buddies, and they were totally wasted. And he was just saying, "I can't believe it. I'm selling millions of books. I write complete junk to the people of Maya." Isn't that great? And she's just watching while she's like having a heart attack. This is her, you know. This is the spiritual luminary. This is the guide to enlightenment. She said at the top, she didn't take it seriously that he was drunk. I mean, you know, it's all part of the cosmic message. It's all part of our evolution. The learning experience. But she couldn't believe what he was saying. He was just roaring with laughter with his friends. "I'm just writing junk! And the people are buying millions of books. Can you believe it?" You cannot realize Krishna by looking at the material energy from the material life form. What about you say when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Rasam apsukanteya," I'm the taste of water. But if you're following Krishna's instructions, when you taste water, you're not on the material platform. Prabhasmi Shashishurya. Krishna says, "I'm the light of the sun and the moon." Whenever you see the light, the sun and the moon, if you think that's Krishna, you're not looking on the material platform at material nature. The big difference. I myself heard Prabhupada say something which is beyond my experience and will be beyond my experience. He's talking about Dharma Varuda Bhuteshu Kamosmi Bharatarshava. Those whose ashram it is to bring children into the world, Prabhupada was referring. That activity is Krishna. You can see Krishna in this way. In other words, Srila Prabhupada didn't flinch from any aspect of our bhakti vision. He made sure we understood the complete package. It's all there in seeing Krishna from the standpoint that Krishna gives us, not from the standpoint that we give ourselves under the influence of the Rishi energy. Hare Krishna.